right, and welcome to Fast Break Breakfast NBA Podcast. My name is Keith, here once again with my buddies Chuck and John. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Johnny!
Right on top of you.
I auto-tuned his hey now just then.
Yeah, it was good. We're recording this. Maybe you'll hear it. I'm not sure if the noise gate will keep it away. They are destroying a tree, not 20 feet from where we're sitting.
Yeah. Who knew that the hellish mallscape that Keith lives in could get worse?
Mm-hmm.
And then we come up, and there's three men wielding chainsaws. We have a mall on each side of us.
Yes.
And then chainsaws everywhere. That's where we are right now.
Keith is 5 minutes from two of Nashville's biggest shopping centers.
I can be in two separate movie theaters within 6 minutes of living my driveway, which is absolutely outstanding.
Yeah, that's John's dream.
Yes.
When I ended up getting a house here, I wasn't sure this was the exact neighborhood I wanted to live in.
Right.
And now I'm like, you know what? Kind of awesome. Like I'm loving the location. Yeah. But my neighbor is cutting a tree down.
In your yard?
In my yard.
Did they even ask you for permission?
They did. Okay. They did.
I would have said no.
I actually told them a day of the week I preferred, you know.
Which is the day you podcast.
Well, during my podcast,
I was like, please, during my podcast if possible. But it's funny. So when you guys walk up.
Manufactured drama.
I forget this. I don't often see, despite the fact that we podcast together all the time, I don't often see Chuck and John together outside of the context of my basement. Mm-hmm. So just seeing Chuck and John walk up like through my yard to my front door. Simultaneously,
impressive.
It's impressive. Chuck is terrifying. Like, Chuck looks terrifying. I mean, because, you know, I mean, he was, you know, you served in the military.
Amish gangster.
But now you definitely have that thick former military look.
Right.
The huge beard that's like, I might have been special forces at some point, but now I don't care about anything.
Yeah.
I just look like Rosie O'Donnell's girlfriend before she got famous.
Yeah. Right.
Well, so John in a vacuum, he's wearing a Memphis Grizzlies hoodie. His hair's gotten kind of long. He was a little rotund is too much.
I can take it.
Yeah. But so in a vacuum, John, not intimidating looking.
No.
When walking beside Chuck, John looks like the guy who is like the brains of the terrorist organization.
Right.
He looks like the evil.
No, John Jabuki. John Jabuki and I was walking up to make sure you paid your booking.
So the guy
that could have been.
I'll just say when you guys walked into my front yard, the men with chainsaws stopped and were like, whoa.
That's right.
I did not think in this mallscape we were going to see these two fellas.
These guys are going to ask us for money.
Yeah. We're now brought you up to speed to all the elements around us as we record this episode on a Wednesday. On this Wednesday, did we have a chance to have breakfast?
Oh, your boy did. Had some leftovers, though. Some cold, deep dish, hot and ready, $8 Little Caesars pizza.
Oh, do you pay extra for the deep
pepperoni
dish?
Oh, the deep dish is the tits.
$8.
Worth eight?
Eight. And they have this new thing. I ate it all yesterday, but you should know about it today. They have Crazy Bites, which is crazy bread in small bites, and they will load them up with three kinds of cheeses, bacon, and ranch.
So you just ate pizza donut holes.
Basically. And
Munchkins.
I can get on board with that.
Punchkins.
My stomach did
I should be in branding.
Things today.
Oh, yeah?
That it shouldn't have done. It was just making noises and creating gastrol, like, juices.
I'm curious.
Coming up the front and the back.
It's your age, Chuck, uh-huh. Which is anywhere between, I want to say, 28 and 36.
Okay.
Barely made it.
has your body not adjusted to the lifestyle, or do you keep throwing it curveballs?
No, it has. During my 20s, I would have severe gallbladder pain from the,
oh.
the amount of food I eat.
You're going to lose that GB.
Well, I went, and I've been to a doctor multiple times. That GB, are you with me? And they've done that's actually happened on the podcast. Remember the time I had to get an MRI and I had that, was it barium milk?
Yeah.
For breakfast. I've had people look at my gallbladder and they go, if it hurts, it's because it's working too hard, but it's functionally okay.
Worst alcoholic I know. Shout out Shane Spresser. No gallbladder.
None?
None. Well, makes you drunk instantly.
Does it?
Somehow it's related.
Ooh.
But your lifestyle might get a lot cheaper.
And it also makes you, I know somebody without a gallbladder, you have uncontrollable, butt pee.
Oh.
Yeah, it just makes you diarrhea all the time. So
Thought we were going to make it out of one without diarrhea, but
right,
no way.
Right.
Not in our show.
Podcast tradition.
Yeah. I will say, I've prepared myself. I've steeled my stomach, as it will.
What is like my constitution? Influx of sugar do to?
Well, I'm saying like I wouldn't recommend. Like I can eat like two of those, you know, two movie boxes of the Mike and Ike's, you know, like no effect. But early in my life,
right?
Yeah. If you eat too much candy, like you get a pretty vicious stomach ache. Yeah. Like wouldn't feel very good. Now I can nothing.
I have a theory that Keith married his wife not for love or affection or social standing or money, like everyone else. But for isn't her dad a dentist?
Yeah, her dad's a dentist.
That's it. That's the only reason.
Her dad's a dentist, and she's a
medical provider.
Yeah. So she.
No, I was an artist with no way to get health care.
It's like, hey, it's fine.
So I got I got dental and health.
I need to have somebody around if I drop dead. Knows life support. You know, can do CPR.
That's right. He's had nothing but Mike and Ike's all day. tell the paramedics, John. What'd you have for breakfast?
It's so boring.
Oh, that's all right.
But I tried to throw a wrinkle at it to make it interesting and ended up ruining my own breakfast. So I ate grapefruits for breakfast a lot.
Right.
And I was like, as I was eating, I was like, this isn't going to be fun to talk about on the podcast. What if I put salt on it? Turns out, don't do that. It's not like watermelon at all.
No. Mango.
Aren't you supposed to put sugar on it?
You are, but I can't. That defeats the whole purpose.
Right.
Of what I'm trying to do.
You're trying to not be fat, negate
your medications.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, trying
which I believe that's what grapefruit juice does.
Oh, really?
It counteracts a lot of medications. I'm not sure what it is.
Does it?
There's something specific.
I can't take medications anyways because my imagination is so horrible and fertile that all side effects listed on that bottle, they will happen immediately before even possible.
Anyone with any medical knowledge or biological knowledge is probably very frustrated so far with our show, with our lack of understanding of what the gallbladder does. And
no clue what it does.
I'm telling you, grapefruit juice does something. You're not supposed to take it when you take pills. I had a actually kind of like Chuck, leftover pizza.
Oh yeah,
so I'm so filled with envy.
I had a random, you know, the wife and I had a random like, you know what I haven't had in a long time? Pizza Hut.
Ooh.
So we just hooked up Pizza Hut. Turns out, this is a free plug for Pizza Hut. Turns out, $10 pizza, any topping, anything you want.
All the toppings?
Any topping, like any of their specialty pizzas, $10 large.
Whoa.
And I was like, oh. And so I called them up, and they were like, oh, yeah, you must have seen the big commercials.
I thought Jets
and I was like, I actually hadn't heard that commercial, but I was in.
I thought Jets had won the turf war on deep dish and that Little Caesars had won the turf war on cheap pizza. I didn't know Pizza Hut was still kicking.
I think they Pizza Hut felt them coming.
Pizza Hut's trying to get in between.
Yeah, Pizza Hut's coming for the game.
They still have the buffets, though.
They're middling. Man, Pizza Hut buffet. Only thing better than Pizza Hut buffet is a KFC buffet.
Oh.
Or Mr. Gaddy's buffet.
Mr. Gaddy's.
R.I.P.
That's a local reference.
Are you from Ohio? Where's Mr. Gaddy's?
Anyway, let's move on to after our breakfasts, where we move to our breakfast in bed apologies. This is our chance to make right what we might have gotten wrong on any previous episode. Does anyone have anything they need to apologize for?
Mine's a long time coming, but lately I've been about as wrong-headed as a White House press secretary, so I forgot to apologize to them. I should have apologized for this last week, but as soon as I cited the Magic's defense becoming elite as they were fifth in the league, they somehow are now 27th.
I kept telling you for weeks. I was like, on our Patreon Slack chat, I kept saying the Magic are terrible at defense now. Like,
I have muted Keith on the Slack chat.
That does explain more.
I see everyone's chat except for Keith's.
That's funny. I'll just screen cap them and send them to you.
I have watched in horror as the Magic not only aren't good at defense, but may in fact be the worst at defense. Although I do love watching the lineups that Vogel throws out. They are laughably variable.
And then they start five power forwards yesterday.
I'm telling you guys, Aaron Gordon is a three. How many times do I have to tell you? No longer a power forward.
Well, I have an apology to make. A few weeks ago, I destroyed Carmelo Anthony. He immediately exacted revenge by scoring 30 points the next game. I want to apologize to him again. He isn't the biggest disappointment on the Knicks roster. That has to go to the one and only Joakim Noah, who missed the worst free throw I've ever seen in my entire life.
It was pretty good.
John and I were going over it pre-show.
Good God.
Trying to explain the spin on the ball.
Lack of spin. It looked like a well-struck free kick in soccer.
Right.
With the ball just knuckling through the air and with no discernible spin.
Lionel Messi corner kick.
He knew the second it left his hands. But more importantly, that free throw aside, Noah kind of dropped off the face of the planet as far as basketball playing ability. And I don't know if it has to do with his injuries or what, but at one point...
It's like the year Peyton Manning was suddenly awful.
Yeah.
Didn't he win a Super Bowl that year?
He did.
Sure did. After getting benched.
But, like, you know, we're talking about a player who was decent. Well, decent. He was an All-NBA player.
He was fourth in the MVP one year.
He was,
which
you know,
is still ridiculous.
Which was ridiculous at the
narrative.
Time.
Good narrative.
It was ridiculous at the time. But now, looking back, we go, you know, this guy, what has happened to...
Maybe we're looking at this wrong. You know how knuckleball pitchers get their own catchers? You know, they have their own personal catchers? Maybe he needs his own hoop for free throws. Every time Noah goes to take a free throw, they wheel, you know, wheel out the new stanchion. You know they got the backup in case there's a Shaq attack.
Uh-huh. I mean, and we'll just do, like, the rim will be, like, 60% bigger.
Fair is fair. We'll make it cost him a roster spot, just like in baseball. I mean, everyone can be happy.
Yeah. But, yeah, sorry, Carmelo. You're not the most disappointing Nick this year.
Might be Phil Jackson.
Jeez.
Well, apparently, Noah played Jeff Hornacek in one-on-one, barely beat him.
Dude, Horny.
A 53-year-old.
Shooter's going to shoot.
Yeah, I assume he's just knocking down jumpers.
But still, you got to take him to the rack.
Yeah, if only Noah could do that. My apology goes to the Milwaukee Bucks. The Parrish curse has not been as prevalent this year, but it still exists.
Oh, yes.
And not once I had an interview with our friend Ty Windisch.
Then they lost five in a row.
And I declared the Bucks good, even though I did say, if we do think they're so good, why aren't they winning more? But right. Then they did go on a deep tailspin. And if it wasn't for them beating the Houston Rockets.
But that was the night that all the good teams lost. Can we really give the Bucks that?
But then they kept losing. I mean,
it's a very strange night.
The Bucks now several games under 500. Yes. So, sorry about that. My bad there. Afflicting them with my the damning praise of Keith, which makes your team bad.
I do like that out there in Milwaukee, Jabari Parker responded to his benching with a great one of his best games.
I will say it was good that Jabari did that. Some of that losing streak was with some weird, like, oh, I'm Jason Kidd. Let's start Thon Maker tonight.
Right.
Like, what? Yeah. Why are we doing this? And then Brogdon got benched because maybe he was part of what were they, snitching on a players' meeting?
I really don't know.
They broke the rule of Fight Club or something?
I believe Parker was...
Parker got benched
over it.
For discussing...
And that was a team decision. That wasn't, you know, they voted on it as a team to bench him. So it was obviously something they cared about. I don't know specifically what he said, though.
I think they're probably talking about Swaggy P's Snapchats.
Mm.
Yep. All right, well, those were our breakfast in bed apologies. After our breakfast in bed apologies, we move on to our steak and eggs. Our best thing. What's the best thing you saw in the last week?
Miami has such a rich sporting history.
Sade.
Names like Dwayne, Shaquille, Marino, Jimmy Johnson, Pat Riley, Howard Schnellenberger.
Chuck Carr.
But perhaps the most illustrious name of all has just been added to the list. Dion Waiters.
Oh, yeah. You're speaking my language, baby.
33 points. Deep game-winning three against the Warriors.
Dagger.
Earning all of our respect forever.
Oh, you know. And an undying
potentially
loyalty.
The biggest all-star snub in history.
Could you imagine an Oklahoma City team with Dion Waiters and Russell Westbrook on it? I mean, it's almost unstoppable. That would be... Wait.
Game of Scones teaser. Was that enough to make him the leading Heat scorer for the season?
Ooh.
We just don't know.
We don't know.
But what a performance.
Dion Waiters avenged the honor of Russell Westbrook.
He did.
He did it. Dion Waiters did that for all of Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Oh. Stepped up.
Kevin Durant was laughing his nuts off.
No, he thought it was hilarious.
I found myself watching the end of that game with Waiters calmly dribbling out the clock, preparing his pull-up. And my thought is, like, why aren't the Warriors sending a double team to force the ball over? he's just going to shoot a game-winning three. Like, uh-huh. He's going to do the top of the key.
No question in my head that was going be a shot that didn't go in. Like, as soon as it was released, I go, this is over.
And clearly that's what the Warriors thought.
They were suffering from the King of Diamonds virus.
That truly was the bizarro night of the NBA.
I mean, any great team especially a Western Conference team when they're playing in Miami that one time during the season, you can count on.
Vegas somehow knew, though. All those lines were weird.
Were they?
I pointed it out. I went, oh, those lines all look so bettable. Not betting any of those.
Nope.
I think the Warriors might be one of the most partying-est mm-hmm. teams we've had.
Partying-est?
I mean, like...
I don't think so.
I know we have all those 80s stories of the teams going out all the time, but mm-hmm. no, I feel like everyone but Steph is in a...
Steph and Clay are like Bible thumping loons.
I think Clay is stoned out of his brain.
Smoked so much weed.
Oh, well, yeah.
Didn't he speak out against marijuana?
He could have.
Maybe that's.
I don't know.
That's his.
I don't know.
Christian guilt.
I'm not.
And Durant's an insane religious guy too. I don't think so, man.
I think they are all super drunk,
buddy. When you're having to travel from that deep West Coast all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It gets tough out there.
Yeah, especially when you got that legal weed.
Oh.
He still got his medical card from Seattle.
I always forget that weed exists until I'm smoking it. So I forget about it. I think you may be on a... Maybe they're just smoking.
I don't know what it is, but they're still winning 90% of their basketball
games.
We
know Steve Kerr likes to fire it up.
Yep. Oh, that's right.
He gave it up.
Outspoken Steve Kerr.
Didn't work.
Did it? Yeah, right.
Steve Kerr and Popovich very well could have been my best.
Speaking of former...
I don't want to lose our alt-right fan base, though.
Right. Speaking of former Durant teammates...
Uh-oh.
My best is James Harden, who, while accounting for, like, what is it, 54% of his team's points between scoring and assisting, he, against the Memphis Grizzlies, my Memphis Grizzlies, he had 29 points and 10 assists... on 7 of 9 shooting.
Yikes.
First player in NBA history, as far as we can tell, to score 29 points and have 10 assists without attempting double-digit shots.
That's nuts.
Quick aside, thank God I'm doing Game of Guns this week so that we didn't have something related to that.
Oh, yeah, that sounds like a real crappy lead-in to an awfully terrible Game of Scones.
I will tell you, here's the Game of Scones you...
narrowly avoided?
Here's the Game of Scones you narrowly avoided. Isaiah... Kyrie Irving scored 35 points in the second half against the Pelicans.
Yes.
What other players had scored 35 points in a half? That's all I was going to be.
And then lost?
No. Well, I wasn't. That could be it too. But
I would have gotten only Larry Bird, Dominique Wilkins, and then missed everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And probably one of those is wrong. So.
Yep.
Well, my best of the week. It's obvious. Well, John
Pilford.
He spoke on something that I'm happy for him to speak on.
I just wanted to say Howard Schnellenberger.
It was a very good reference. I am very, very happy in seeing the Cavaliers lose to the Anthony Brow Davisless Pelicans the other night. And it was a fantastic, weird night of basketball where a lot of good teams lost to very, very underwhelming teams.
Terrence Jones.
But what we see here is the beginning of what could be the real end of the Cavs.
Guys, oh, yeah? Do you think they're too top-heavy?
I think they might be.
Do you think they might be top-heavy as shit?
I think they're top-heavy as shit. And they got... I mean, it's effectively the same roster as last year. And they won a championship.
It's hard for me to get mad at LeBron for complaining about wanting to add to a team already laden with All-Stars because the Warriors did just add Kevin Durant.
Right, to three All-Stars on their team.
The arms race is real.
No, I get it. But
Kyle Korver's an all-star.
Kyle Korver's a monster.
Hey, okay.
Just saying.
Yeah, there you go.
But LeBron is playing the most minutes in the NBA right now.
Is Tibbs coaching them suddenly?
No.
It's
Ty Lue, who, for the record, last year, the Cavaliers fired David Blatt when they were 30-11. Now they're 30-13, and no one's even mentioning a Ty Lue replacement.
Any Semites?
I think it might have something to do with that. Cavs.
Where is old Blatt? Is he at the Maccabi games right now? What's going on?
He's probably just cashing his checks from Quicken Loans.
I did like mere minutes after Kyrie Irving scored 35 points and a half, LeBron says, you guys got to get me some help.
Yeah,
right. Well, in that game against the Pelicans, the line between the three, I mean, LeBron had a triple-double. Kevin Love had a ridiculous line, and Kyrie scored almost 50 points.
The trio nearly scored 100 points. I think they scored 98 points.
Yeah. That's like, to me, you're not, you know, it's one of those weird, outlier games where they, whenever those three players perform like that, they should never lose, but once in a blue moon they will.
He probably just saw that the Heat beat the Dubs and had a conniption.
He probably just
couldn't handle that.
And I think that they have 30 point a game scorer Jordan McRae just sitting on that bench.
Ooh.
I don't know what they're waiting for. Unleash the McRae.
So that's also my worst.
Coach Brombron.
My best and my worst is the Cavs losing to the Pelicans. the Cavs have no reason.
The Terrence Jones game.
Yeah. Get out the way, bro.
Yeah. So that was a wonderful, as a Miami Heat fan, it's been a wonderful week of basketball for me.
Man, I wish we could give them Lance Stevenson. I wish Lance could heal up.
Where is he? Is his Achilles? What is it? What's wrong with him?
What
did he tear or
that's
break?
That's our boy, Mario.
Oh, yeah.
He tore or broke something.
Yeah, it's sad. But it was out. He's been out since November. I guess he's just done.
Oh, yeah. I think he's
R.I.P. born ready.
He's not going to be around this year.
Lifetime contract to Grizzlies.
I wish.
My cream of wheat, as Chuck got us to, the cream of wheat worst of week, is the Wizards called out the Celtics and did this whole ridiculous funeral game.
I love
where they were. Yeah, so I liked that part of it.
I love it.
My worst thing is the Celtics just rolling over and taking it.
Yeah.
Marcus Smart didn't roll over and take it.
Well, he did try to, yeah.
Marcus Smart got hot and heavy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I loved that these teams one team seems to really hate the other.
I mean, the Wizards are here.
Yeah.
The Wizards are now legit.
They are.
Winning
Wizards
road games.
Cannot lose at home.
I think 14 in a row at home for the
Insane.
Wizards.
Well,
but yeah, I didn't like that. The Celtics, who have, they have an awesome offense, but now I think since Christmas they have the worst defense in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
Saw that on Twitter from someone today. But you know, not great. And again, as we've pointed out, Isaiah Thomas has the worst defensive RPM by a lot. Of all the players in the NBA.
For all his offensive glory, he may be so bad at defense that he's turned one of the best defensive teams into the worst.
Yeah.
That's hard to do. And who would have thought Al Horford would hurt them defensively?
Yeah, so I'm a little down on the Celtics. I felt like the Celtics had a chance to demoralize the Wizards and to make the Wizards a laughingstock.
Yeah.
It would have made the whole stunt, it would have changed the narrative completely.
Right.
But nope, they got kind of run out of there early, and then they can never bounce back.
I mean, the Wizards roster, it's just kind of good.
Speaking of top heavy.
Yeah.
We saw about Otto Porter, who could be most improved player this season. But, yeah, I mean, Beal,
God,
Wall, Porter is everything.
Porter ate the Grizz alive. They kind of go as Porter goes, though.
Yeah. But when Beal and Wall are firing on all cylinders,
not fair.
It's harder to find a better backcourt. And it's really hard to find a better backcourt than those two.
Yeah. What's your, John, what's your cream of wheat?
Oh, I can't believe that both of you didn't pick this. The Los Angeles Lakers lost to the Dallas Mavericks by 49 points.
Worst loss in Lakers history to a team that's not good.
An awful team.
God.
And it was a year to the day of Kobe scoring 81 points where they scored 73 as a team in a game.
Like 8 years to the day?
What I think it was 10.
Oh, 10 years to the day?
10 years to the day.
I mean, what on earth? That would have been one of those fire everybody games.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on with
everybody.
Them. What is going on with the Lakers?
I mean, the Lakers are, they're in a tough spot. They're comfortably bottom three, bottom two team. I mean, the Nets are the worst team
and
in
they
the
do
NBA.
Need to keep that top three protected.
They have.
But they're not doing this on purpose.
I mean, they are playing their young guys. Lakers fans are getting a little testy. Power listener, Damon is getting a little upset. I've seen about people talking about the tanking and this and that. But two draft picks are decided by them keeping their pick this year.
Yeah,
absolutely.
The 2019 pick, if it goes to Orlando, if they lose this pick this year. So they lose two picks if they don't finish with the
which is all well and good, but losing by 50 to the Mavs is the type of loss that sticks around a team for years.
Yeah, it's demoralizing.
It's not. They didn't get crushed by the Warriors. They got crushed by the Mavs.
Although, I mean, we saw also this week the Pelicans got obliterated by the Nets, by the worst team in the NBA, mm-hmm. gave up 140-something, and then came out the next night, or it was two nights. I don't remember.
Lakers, please do that.
The Cavaliers.
Don't be this depressing.
Lakers might need to show up. Man, it's
they were such a heartwarming story early.
Way in the rearview mirror, the very promising start where they were winning all
kinds
of games.
They had a chance to.
I thought they were going
to
be pretty all right.
I thought they would be okay.
Yeah, they were going to be
well. We are wrong about everything.
Yeah. But how awful will it be if they, have continue the rest of the season being a just a garbage pail, and then get the fourth pick. You know,
ooh, no, like, no, that's real.
I like that. Yeah. And that, I mean, you kind of have double
the odds. Know. I can't remember what it is, but the odds Laker of having one team jump you are really high.
Yeah,
Laker, you know? Bros memes for days.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah,
sunglasses is going to be whipped off.
The saddest franchise.
Yeah, and that was a team that again looked like they were going to definitely hit their over. Although now it's back in play.
I guess what I'm saying, Lakers, is trust the process.
As you should. The process is going very well for the Sixers. But anyway, all right, so moving to our Scattered Smothered, Hassan Whiteside cocks it back to Waffle House Prison's Scattered Smothered covered thoughts. I actually wanted to revisit our unanimous over-unders. We touted ourselves very highly in the offseason because we got the All-Star break coming up. Every team has played like 45, 46, 47 games. I was looking at the pace of some of these things, and I think coming into this year, I can't remember what we were, something like 13-1 on our unanimous over-unders in the last 2 years. So we were
hubris.
The hubris came for us, although it's not dire, but.
Well, it's not dire for you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, John is the only one. Well,
he put money on it.
John put actual money. Mm. I just staked my reputation.
Mm-hmm. So,
I mean. I was just talking about it. Yeah, so that's what happened to me.
So we
I hate you guys.
We took the Cavs under.
If I just disappear at the end of the season.
Yeah, we'll know what happened. So we went Cavs under 57 wins. They're 30-13. On pace for 57.
Yeah.
So that one's in play. Mm-hmm. That one's going good.
I don't think so, though.
538.
Have you looked at how their schedule goes?
538 predicts them to only win 55 games.
Wow.
So that one's up in the air.
Oh, 538. You can always count on them.
Yeah, they haven't had any notable failures.
No huge whiffs.
Boston, we were unanimous, went over 52.5. They're not close to the pace. They're 26-18, on pace for 48 wins. 538 also projects 48 wins.
This is play a little deep.
This is the team I think Mike could go on a run, but this is looking like a loss.
Yeah.
Looking like a loss. Charlotte, who has... I still...
I blame Keith for this.
I still had a lot of faith in them up until very recently, which could mean they're about to.
There you have it.
Have an uptick.
Keith started this segment with glee at how miserable I was going to be, and now I'm so sad that he actually feels bad.
Charlotte, we were unanimous over 40.5, and they're 23-22, so they're on pace to beat that. They're on pace to beat it. 538 projects them to win 43 games. So I think Charlotte's going to win with. They're going to have a better than 500 record, I think.
Especially at the
end of
the year.
Their bench is so bad. Frank Kaminsky is horrible.
Yeah.
Rising star.
Frank the Foreman.
Christ. Frank the Foreman is not good.
I think when the
tanking, when you're clamoring for Marvin Williams, yikes.
When the tanking begins in the East, because I think Charlotte's going to get reap the benefits of that. So they'll probably be closer to above 500 than anything.
So here's our biggest whiff. The Orlando Magic, unanimous over 37 wins. They're on pace for 31.
Bogle.
And... they are, as we said, they're probably...
trending downward.
They're the third worst team in the NBA, I'm pretty sure.
Just garbage.
Like, the Heat and the Suns are actually winning some games, and the Lakers we have hope for. I don't know what this Magic team is doing. Mm. They have no... Like, Aaron Gordon has potential.
Larry Bird was right again.
Yeah.
Adios, Frankie.
See ya, Frank. So that's a
that roster's just garbage.
That's a loss.
It's a poorly put together.
I feel really bad about
it. It has plenty of players that I like, but that don't fit well together at all.
They can't play.
This
the
is
same
a team I'm actually hoping for the over-under sake. Maybe might be a team that would make a trade for like a Lou Williams, get some scoring,
something, anything.
You know, just get some points on the board. The Bulls, we were under 40.5. This one couldn't be closer because they sit at 523-23.
I think the Bulls are going to get over, though.
I don't know. Wade, I think, may, second half of the year, play less efficient basketball than he's been playing. And if that's the case, they're
going to... Does that hurt them?
That's the
less they play Wade, the better they do.
Well, he's putting up career lows. I mean, not career lows, but since his, you know, rookie year.
The reason I think they're going to go over is they seem to be over both the Rondo and Michael Carter-Williams starting experiment.
Well, yeah, now they're back to Jerian Grant. Yeah. They didn't even play Michael Carter-Williams. Yeah. Maybe they're showcasing Rondo. That I will say one thing looking up for John and down for the Bulls, they've played, according to Basketball Reference, the third easiest schedule so far.
Oh, thank you.
So their schedule might get harder.
But there is
538 projects them to only win... 40 games. So again, that one's going to be, that's a toss up.
But right there's whispers of a Taj Gibson trade air.
That's right.
So many trade whisperings.
If they're in the business of dumping somebody like that, they're in the business of losing. So I think that'll be telling if we see that happen.
We have the Knicks. This is a winner. Come on, this is a winner, John. We were unanimous under 40.5. They're on pace to only win 35. 538 also projects 35.
They are garbage.
Here's to your abject failure, yay. Phil Jackson.
Don't forget, we hate you.
How's it going?
Here's maybe as big a loss, although this it's not done, but looks like a giant loss. The Sixers, who are good now.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Legit good.
The Sixers, who are 8-1 in their last 9 games where they don't play Jalil.
Right.
And also, they just won a game without
Embiid.
Their top 2 starting centers.
Right.
Well, I mean, no. Noel is much better for them to play.
They still like to showcase Okafor because he's the guy getting moved, right? It's no longer Noel, right?
I mean, Sixers are currently a legit team. I'm interested to see how long it lasts. Like, how long this great, like, they're playing great at home. They're playing good defense, obviously. You know,
Dario.
Although Dario's been having some shooting woes.
Woes.
Foreshadowing.
But the dude can play some serious defense and block a bunch of good shots.
Yeah. I love him. TJ McConnell and Joel Embiid. I want to watch a buddy cop movie starring those guys.
I feel like
I love him.
I feel like TJ McConnell might be the greatest snub of the Rising Stars Challenge announcement. A lot of Sixers, but not him. The Sixers.
Frank DeForman made it, and no TJ?
Jalil made it.
What?
Did he?
Going for those big names. The Sixers over-under was 25. They're on pace to win 30.5 games. 538 projects 30 wins. But again, maybe they I think they have 9 sets of back-to-backs.
And we were under on this? No, we were over.
We were unanimous under. They have 9 sets of back-to-backs coming, though.
That was an authentic
So maybe
sigh.
Maybe Embiid won't play in some of those. Maybe but it's not looking good for that one.
I mean, they're not going to make the playoffs, but they're in the hunt.
Here's a winner, John. Spurs over.
Yeah.
The Vegas line was 57. They're on pace to win 66.
Yeah.
That team is ridiculous. They don't even need their players.
No, they don't.
Like they're like, let's rest Kawhi.
Yeah.
Let's rest Kawhi, Tony Parker, and Pau Gasol can be hurt, and the Raptors are impotent to stop them.
Right.
They don't even.
It's just the Popovich.
I own David Lee in several fantasy leagues.
He's balling.
I started someone named DeJounte Murray recently.
There's a guy
who's starting for the Spurs? Plug him in.
There's a guy named Burtons who's incredible.
Yeah.
Looks just like me.
Picking up Kyle Anderson every about twice a week nowadays. Weird.
The Los Angeles Clippers struggling with injury. Their over-under was 54. We went over.
Yeah.
They're on pace to win 52. 538 only projects them winning 49.
Yeah.
That one's not looking good. That's a pure injury one.
In Felton, we trust.
I actually think this is one.
Didn't Austin Rivers just get hurt too?
He's fine.
I am, right after this podcast, I am walking into the ocean.
I don't know. Is there anything you can, should you?
Like Sterling Hayden in The Long Goodbye. You will never see me again.
That's a great reference. I feel like maybe Blake could take off and this team could get going again.
I was hoping that too, but the first game back didn't look too good.
Well, they were playing the juggernaut. They're playing the Sixers.
Some serious rust on there.
Another winner. We've had our finger on the pulse for Portland now for a couple years. Portland's over-under was 45.5. They're on pace to win, brace yourselves, 34 games. Not very good.
No.
538 thinks they might do better at 37 wins. So Portland under, that's a winner. The OKC Thunder, we were unanimous on under.
No.
45 wins. It's not as dark as it might be. They are on pace to win 47. So it's possible. Also, I think that they have a tough schedule second half of the year.
I'm through doubting Russell Westbrook. I'm scared he might find me and dunk on me.
Man, I kind of called that.
Mm. Yeah.
I kind of called this Russ going crazy, averaging a triple-double thing.
Well, thanks for calling it and then going with the under, which led to a unanimous under, which led to me putting a ton of money on it. Thanks a lot.
The Denver Nuggets, who we love at Fast Break Breakfast, Jokic, I think he might have actually won me over that maybe he deserves an All-Star spot.
They've come alive.
Another week of seeing him put up whatever his 25, his 11s and 6 every
he's going to average a triple double.
He's the first. Sorry, what were you saying, Chad?
His PER since the first of the year is 33.
Huh.
Yeah.
Jordan.
He's the first player in his first or second, or I think it was he's the first player at the age of 21 to average 20 points, 10 rebounds, 5 assists per 36.
He's amazing.
Their over-under was 37. We went unanimous over.
Come on, Nuggets.
They're on pace to win 35. 538, though, thinks they're trending upward because they have a 500 record when Jokic starts at center. 538 thinks they won 38. That's up in the air.
Well, you know they're going to swing Yusuf Nurkic for an all-star type player.
Right. Yeah. Nurkic should go somewhere. I mean, Celtics.
They could use him.
Blazers. Get yourself a Nurkic.
Bring Nurkic to Grizzlies Town.
Man, I wouldn't mind that at all.
Yeah.
What would they have to give up, though?
I don't know. Vince Carter's headband.
Yeah,
I don't know. We already not much.
The Grizzlies already owe the Nuggets a pick, so I don't think it's happening. All and right. Then finally, the Sacramento Kings unanimous. We were under 32.5. It looked real dicey there for a while.
But now they're back.
Now they're back.
They're back.
Now they're back. They're on pace to win exactly 32 games, so it's going to be close. But this is a team with a top 10 protected pick. I mean, this team's—they're going to shut it down.
Yes,
I assume. Although Ty Lawson is playing kind of well. It's kind of weird.
Is he playing kind of well, or is he just outplaying Darren Collison?
Yeah. Could be. So of those 13, right now, the bad news is if you project out the pace exactly, you're going to have a lot of tough losses. It's going to go 5-8. However,
that's a lot of money, Keith.
538 projects, you're going to go 8-5. That's winner-winner.
Hey.
That's winner-winner.
You'll take that any day.
So, I mean, there's a lot of these are toss-ups. You know, I think you still have a hope.
My
on the
blood
Celtics.
Pressure could choke a mule right now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you might have some, you know.
I'm unhappy.
I think the Celtics have an upside where they can outperform it. You know, you got more definite winners than definite losers. I feel like it's pretty good. Anyway, that was a little update on John's gambling.
Do you have a cold rag?
How much did you put on this?
Oh,
this
man.
Here, Johnny boy.
Oh,
don't want to leave evidence.
If your
for
mortgage is 5 units, how many units?
Oh, Daddy always said, "Don't live beyond your means."
Well,
we might have to take a break. I'm seeing spots in my vision. I mean, I already lost so much money on that election. I can't afford another humdinger like this. Somebody hold me right now. Is it cold in here?
Maybe this is the bottom you need to hit, John.
Whew.
Before you realize.
Well, I'm glad you guys got to play with my emotions, because now I'm going to play with yours.
Uh-oh. Oh, what's this, John?
Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage. Special.
Copyright.
Special Alternative Fact Edition. This game of scones is going to be about the best conference in the NBA, period.
Okay.
So the Eastern Conference.
Okay. Talking about the Eastern Conference.
Now, what I'm going to ask you guys to name, and this seems pretty easy, I'm just going to ask you to go through the Eastern Conference and tell me the top scorer of each team.
Okay.
But this is the alternative top scorer for each team. So I don't want the actual top scorer. I want to know the second highest points per game scorer for each team.
Ooh, tricky.
And not unlike Jeopardy, you have to answer in a certain way. You must tell me the second top scorer, but you must refer to him as the top scorer, and then you must end the declarative statement with the word period.
All right.
Anything else will not be accepted as a correct
answer.
Can
we have an example of a correct answer?
For instance, say we were going to...
Do the Grizzlies or something.
Yeah, if we were doing the Grizzlies, I would say and who would that be? That'd be Gasol.
I'm actually guessing Gasol.
Yeah. And I think Conley's first. So I would say Mark Gasol is the Grizzlies' top scorer, period.
Okay. Yeah, got it. I got it.
Would you guys like to start at the bottom or the top standings?
Oh.
Start from the bottom.
Who goes first?
I am going to let Chuck go first.
So Chuck's going first.
Starting with the Brooklyn Nets.
This is impossible.
Yeah.
Starting at the bottom certainly made this way harder.
Yeah, way harder.
Yeah, the first one seems way harder.
I mean, I don't even.
Uh-oh.
I have no. I
can't. Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage, Peter Dinklage.
Nothing. I got nothing. I mean, I could go Brook, but he's their leading scorer.
That's not the alternative fact leading scorer.
Of course.
This is an opportunity to steal.
This is really hard trying to figure out which one of those guys they let shoot that averages like 10.
I'll give you a hint. He shoots a lot.
I was going to say the leading scorer for the Brooklyn Nets is.
Ooh, this is going to be bad because I think this one's easy.
Oh, really? I was going to say Isaiah Whitehead, period.
Not even in the top five.
Sean Kilpatrick?
Sean period? Kilpatrick, period.
I think I got Kilpatrick and Whitehead mixed up in my head. Yeah, that's a good one. All right.
All right.
But
that's a miss for Chuck. I'm not going to punish Keith for that.
Okay, all right. So who do I got?
I'm going to give you the Miami Heat.
The Miami Heat. Actually, man, I'm going to say the leading scorer for the Miami Heat is Tyler Johnson, period.
Not even in the top three.
The leading scorer from the Miami Heat is Hassan Whiteside, period.
Correct answer! Oh.
Yeah. I know.
Honestly, I forgot Hassan Whiteside was on the Miami Heat.
Did you? Dragic is leading the team,
all right.
Officially.
So I'm gonna kick this one over. I'm going to kick this one over to Keith.
So that's a point.
I got a point.
Come back to Chuck. So we'll give a point for the steal, but this is his to start, I think.
Yeah. Oh, you want to start it? Okay.
Yeah, so Chuck's to start.
Okay. Chuck, this one, you're dead.
Got it.
Philadelphia 76ers.
Nick Stauskas is the leading scorer of the Philadelphia 76ers, period.
You have watched no Sixers games. If you need a hint,
Ersan Ilyasova is the leading scorer of the Philadelphia 76ers, period.
Correct.
Yes.
If I had given you a hint, the hint would have been, this is the greatest player who ever lived.
All right, so we got one, was it? Two strikes and one strike. We
Chuck has
our
Chuck
first.
Has two strikes.
So
we're gonna get.
We each have 1 point. All right.
Keith's favorite team, the Orlando Magic.
Wow, I have no idea what the answer to this will be. The leading scorer on the Orlando Magic.
I think this is the hardest one.
Oh, that's a tough hint. Well, I'll stick with what I was going to say. I think it's Serge Ibaka. Period.
Ooh. Got it.
Yes.
Oof. I was stunned by that Evan Fournier's first and Vucimane's third.
I was going to go Vucimane.
I thought Fournier was first, and then it was a Vucher.
Chuck.
Ibaka. All right.
Take it to the city. New York Knicks. This is a close one.
Kristaps Porzingis is the leading scorer of the New York Knicks, period.
Whew. 0.9 points more. Than Derrick Rose.
Oof, pretty
inexplicably.
Good.
Probably on 9 shots less.
That's pretty good. All right.
Keith, take it to Motown.
Detroit?
Detroit Pistons. Do it for RoboCop.
Oh, this is kind of tough. That team spreads the ball around.
Indeed.
I'm going to say Andre Drummond is the leading scorer of the Pistons, period.
Andre Drummond, my terrible all-star pick, not even in the top 4 scorers for the Detroit Pistons.
That's embarrassing.
Yes, it is.
That's 2 strikes for me.
Chuck, do you want to steal?
Chuck for the steal?
It won't kill you.
I mean, you got like 3 to pick from.
Give you a hint. Mortal Kombat character.
Oh, that's too easy.
Reggie Jackson.
No!
Noob Saibot.
Jax?
Tobias. Noob Saibot. Oh! See, Chuck just dug deep on it. Jax.
Oh, nice.
Tobias Harris.
Okay.
Nestled between Sweet Reggie and KCP. Well, so they all really close.
So Chuck has 3 strikes, but however, 3 correct answers.
I'm not going to punish him because we got to get to this. We got to get to a couple more.
Let's fly through. So let's keep track of our points. So Chuck, you got 3. I got 2.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. So this is mine.
Milwaukee Bucks.
Milwaukee Bucks. The leading scorer in the Milwaukee Bucks is. I don't want to get this wrong. This would be embarrassing because I just looked at him. Jabari Parker.
Yeah.
Because Antetokounmpo is first.
I will. I would like to.
That's
protest.
A third strike for Keith. Did not say period.
You didn't say period.
Oh,
see, now we're tied up.
All right, we're in tiebreaker mode now.
I was gonna play this game in protest if you didn't catch that.
Tied up. Next loss. Next loss is out.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Indiana Pacers, Chuck.
Miles Turner is the leading scorer of the Indiana Pacers. Period.
Correct answer. We're almost through the entire East, boys.
This is good. Mm-hmm. This is good.
Keith, the Chicago Bulls.
Chicago Ooh. Bulls.
Hint, it's not Rondo.
Dwayne Wade is the leading scorer in the Chicago Bulls, period.
Yes!
Yes!
Mostly just for free throws. Chuck, Keith's favorite team, the Charlotte Hornets. This is looking bad for Chuck because Keith's going to get the next one. Can he pull it out?
Kemba Walker is the leading scorer of the Charlotte Hornets, period.
That's not an alternative.
That
fact.
Is not. That, you're the Park Service tweeting right now.
Chuck, can you steal that one, Keith?
Honestly, I'm not sure.
That's a tough one.
It does seem hard. I would say, who is second on their team in scoring?
When I say it, you're going to feel stupid.
Big I will go with Batum, period.
Correct.
Okay, because I knew Batum was struggling a lot. I thought maybe someone
for
else.
The win, and I think Keith will get this one.
Okay.
Washington Wizards.
That's easy.
Oh, I'm now doubting myself. Which one averages more? I think Brad Beal is the leading scorer. Period.
Correct.
Oh, that was nerve wracking.
We should have started from the top. It would have been better.
That was nerve wracking.
It would have been easier. Although the Celtics one. Keith is the winner, but
right.
Who wants to give the Celtics one a try?
I think I'm pretty sure it's Avery Bradley, period.
Correct.
Because he's averaging like 18 or 17 or something.
Yeah. I was just stunned that Al Horford somehow hasn't snuck his way in there, but only third.
No, Al Horford's throwing up too many bricks.
God. Isaiah Thomas is scoring so many points.
Speaking of.
And is Kyrie scoring more points than LeBron this year?
No.
So
no.
LeBron is Kyrie. So did we cover them all?
The only ones we did were Hawks. Hawks is Dennis Schroeder.
And what?
Raptors is so Lowry.
Right. Cavs, Kyrie.
All right.
That almost got it all the way through, boys.
That's a good game of scones. And speaking of Al Horford not hitting any shots, that brings us to the awards segment of
Hey.
The International Stackhouse of Pancakes Award, which is given each week to the worst performance in a box score, focusing usually on shot attempts. This week we have several honorable mentions, including Al Horford, who was 2 for 14, but was saved with 10 assists, 3 blocks, 7 rebounds. That's a good all-around game. Also honorable mention.
Blake Griffin.
Rising star, Malcolm Brogdon, 1 for 10.
Mm.
Rising star, Dario Saric, 1 for 10. And then very veteran, no longer rising stars, Jamal Crawford and Zebo, both going 3 for 14. Mm. We have 3 nominees this week in chronological order. Dirk Nowitzki in a loss to the Jazz. 1 for 13.
Yikes.
1 for 13, Dirk. 3 points, God. 10 rebounds, nothing else. No turnovers, no nothing. 3 points, 10 rebounds, That's 1 for 13.
Yikes.
Hard to beat. Dario Saric, not only was an honorable mention, but gets a nomination.
Ooh.
In the following game, after his 1 for 10, he went 1 for 12 in a win, because this team only wins in a win versus Portland. 1 for 12, 3 points, 6 boards, 3 assists, a block, 2 turnovers.
Wins against Portland don't count anymore.
And then finally, who is on a nomination hot streak, Eric Gordon.
Whew.
His 3rd nomination of the season.
He jeezy.
In a loss to the Warriors, 2 for 14, 6 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. So we have Dirk, 1 for 13, 3 points, 10 boards. Dario, 1 for 12, 3 points, 6 boards, a block, 2 turnovers. And then Eric Gordon, 2 for 14, 6 points.
Give me Dirk. Pass the ball.
I haven't forgotten about 2011 finals.
I'm going to go Eric Gordon because his streak it's been bad.
No, but Dario but doing those, having a 1 for 10 followed by
consecutive is pretty good.
I mean, I know we don't count, you know, the big picture.
I'm just
stunned
by the no assists for Dirk.
J.R. Smith did a similar thing earlier this year.
Oh, yeah.
Back to back, 1 for 12, 1 for 11.
He's so bad.
That's amazing. All right. Yeah, so Dirk Nowitzki.
Congratulations, Dirk.
And by the way, I have tallied all of our data for this season of International Stackhouse of Pancakes, just to keep you up to date. That is Dirk's first nomination and award of the year.
Woo!
So congratulations, Dirk Nowitzki.
That's incredible.
The legend.
Hey, it was about time, Dirk. Welcome to the club.
All right. Let's do our par fadeaway as we look forward to things in the coming week before we get to a brief Grizzlies epilogue. What are the things we are looking forward to this week? I can start and take an easy one.
God.
The All-Star reserves are going to be announced on Thursday night. I find that exciting.
Yeah.
I'm going to be outraged if Joel Embiid is not included. I also assume Marc Gasol is going back.
I'm worried about it.
Zach Lowe is trumpeting the no Embiid All-Star.
He's wavering.
Is he?
He's wavering.
I read his All-Star article.
That is a curmudgeonly man.
Well, I mean, he's blaming a player who's missed two seasons on not playing enough minutes. And that's, you know, to me, it's obviously the kid has talent and he should be used in a very smart
way. You ever have one of those buddies who likes kind of a self-flagellator, likes to be miserable?
Oh, yeah.
I think Zach Lowe might be a self-flagellator.
Oh, he might have a cat of nine tails at his house. I thought you like... you put like electrodes on your nuts.
I loathe myself. Right now. Especially after this episode.
There's a slight difference.
I'm looking forward to... I always get really excited about this. My team's going to be on TNT on Monday.
Whoop, whoop.
Grizzlies aren't on TNT often. I get excited about it.
Yeah.
Even if it is against the Suns and it's only because it's the only late game, I'll take it. Grizz on TNT.
Grizzly Suns is on TNT.
Yes, sir.
That's worse than Lakers Pacers on ESPN.
They're not going to flex that, are they?
I don't know. Can they?
Do they do that?
It feels too late.
Is Goodell going to get involved?
They have been flexing. I will say another thing to look forward to is we have another watch party coming for the Nashville crew on February 3rd.
New location.
Double dogs.
They have all the dogs.
Sylvan Heights. No, they actually have two.
That's it.
Double Dog Sylvan Heights on Charlotte Road for the Thunder game. A Friday night. So those of you like me who only leave the house on Fridays.
If you like to see pictures of all your favorite NASCAR drivers only depicted as dogs.
Ooh.
Do we have a spot for you?
You are there. Also, if you really, really hate yourself and will allow yourself to eat nachos from a dog bowl.
Oh, yeah.
That's something you can do. I'm 100% certain Chuck will do that.
They're also serving, I believe, a $3.50 well drink, Grizzlies themed. There's going to be some blue.
Oh, good.
There's going to be blue involved.
Yeah.
I like a specialty drink.
We once had a podcast meeting at Double Dogs, and I had a breakfast hot dog.
That's right. You did.
Had an egg on it and bacon and hash browns, I think.
Yeah.
Did not use a fork and knife.
No.
Good times.
Had to shave my beard after.
All right. Well, thanks you guys for listening. If you want some Grizzlies talk, we actually barely mentioned the Grizzlies at all this episode.
I got them. I shoehorned them.
So we're going to stick around for a Grizzlies epilogue. So stay around if you like that. If you want to support this show, go to patreon.com/fastbreakbreakfast. We really appreciate those of you who have done that. Follow us on Twitter @fastbreakbreak. Like us on Facebook. Thanks. You guys are the best. Thanks for listening. And remember, breakfast is the most important thing. Grizzlies epilogue. This is yet again, a lame duck Grizz epilogue because we're recording this before they're about to play a basketball game.
But hey, we just Jaeger bombed. That was good.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. The Raptors are coming in with they're on a terrible streak.
A tired, injured Raptors team.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And they have one of those extreme schedule alerts where the stat heads and people who watch the schedule give the Raptors a very low shot of winning. So the Grizzlies should.
But Vegas is already on to them.
Yeah. Yeah, I assume the Grizzlies are favored.
Yeah.
So not a lot to make there. But again, this past week has been kind of disappointing. I think a lot of people are gnashing their teeth in Grizzlies Nation, worried about the losses, the team not looking good. Chandler Parsons still looks bad. The defense is terrible now.
I want to see Chandler Parsons' birth certificate.
You think it's like 38?
He looks ancient.
He does look like me when I play basketball.
God.
Yeah. Interesting.
Gangly, awful.
Yeah, there's no explosiveness there. I was watching him the other night, and he looked sluggish.
Yeah.
He got to get into playing shape. And I don't know if he's played.
I think he's hitting Tunica hard, boys.
You think?
I don't
remember. Let's take Keith's Warriors philosophy and plug it in for Chandler.
Yeah.
I don't remember before guys coming back from injury. I know it's become a very in vogue to do this minutes limit and we're tracking them. I don't remember previously in the NBA a guy coming back from injury and me watching him and being like, oh, good Lord, that guy can't move. Maybe outside of Vince Carter when he first joined the Grizzlies 2 years ago, where it was like, what is wrong with him? But I don't remember.
Vince had the excuse of being, you know, a septuagenarian.
Right.
Chandler does not have the excuse.
Yeah, so
it's been painful to watch.
I'm
almost as painful as that Rockets loss.
But the weird thing is, and again, not to go, I mean, to go big picture, but we can almost go big picture enough on this Grizzlies team that we don't even have to cover them game by game because they're going to be like the 6 or 7 seed. There's almost nothing they can do in the last 35 games. Like, it's very low probability they rise to like the 5, even seems very unlikely. They're not going to drop to the 8. So it's like, all right, this entire next 35 games is
preparing for
a playoff matchup, and so, which is kind of weird. I mean, I know, you know, we watch the games for fun. We want our teams to win. And the part of the NBA we like is watching them every night. But I don't get too, I'm not getting too worked up about it. But it's also weird where it's like, I don't know, at one point you give him Chandler Parsons full run, like, because you don't want to wait till the playoffs to be like, all right, now he gets to play all the time.
If he's going to evolve back into the player that he was, it needs to start sooner than later.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's almost like if he's not doing it by March,
let's just, this
is over. Let's just let James Ennis do his thing.
Yeah.
And also, I think some of
unless it's the last shot of a game.
Oh, James Ennis with I know his shooting.
Wizard's brick was
I know his shooting has been up, but yeah, that was.
If he's not in the corner, don't let it fly.
When did he put the 3 on the back of his jersey? When that happened?
I believe the whole time he's been on the Grizzlies.
Really? Yeah.
I know. I know a lot of those.
He couldn't have Stromau Swift's old number.
Probably when he saw Wade Baldwin putting the 4 on there. I don't have a 3. I will say, even though the Grizzlies, I think they're 9-12 in their last 21, this is still a stretch where I thought they were going to win 5 games.
Right.
So I've still been pleasantly surprised. Like every win is good. The schedule has been really hard.
And things will only look up to Keith for the rest of the year. Nothing can compare to what Keith thought was going to happen.
Right. Like I was so down in such a dark place about this Grizzlies team like a month ago that I was like, this is going to be a nightmare of a season. So the fact that they are, you know, like they're going to win probably 45, you know, hit their over probably. Yeah, like they're going to make the playoffs. Like all these things seem to be secure. So I'm still not getting concerned at the game by game, but I am big picture worried that Chandler Parsons things like what's the timetable on knee repair?
Yeah.
It's been a year.
Is he done?
Yeah.
You know,
certainly seems done, but let us pray.
I mean, even if he contributes,
Parsons going to pray.
Even if he's a fraction of what he was in Houston and Dallas, you guys, you need him. I mean, you need him.
Sorta.
I mean,
Vince Carter's been playing well. James Ennis has been playing well. If those guys just take all his minutes, this with a little more Tony Allen, a little more Troy Daniels.
I think Chuck's referring more to that we need our biggest free agent splash to work. More free agents.
Well, I mean, going into the season, I was thinking he would be a large-scale contributor to this team.
He should have been the alternative fact Grizzlies leading scorer, period.
I believe it. Preseason to say the Grizzlies would win 80% of the games that Mike, Mark, and Chandler played.
Right.
I think that's on. I think that's still like 4-1, 8-2 maybe. I think that might be on.
Yeah, that's sad.
Yep.
We have something else because we were talking about this in the Slack chat.
What is this?
We had a little discussion. If the podcast were the Grizzlies, John would be
Chandler Parsons.
Keith would be
Chandler Parsons,
and I would be
Chandler Parsons.
Okay, good.
Yeah, as long as none of us are Wade Baldwin 4 or right. Brandon Wright friends of the show.
That's Keith was supposed to be Tony Allen.
No, I wasn't. I was disappointed because I was not named Tony.
No,
I think Tony John was Tony Allen. I was Mike Conley.
Mike Conley, which makes sense.
I guess the conductor.
Yeah, you're the yeah.
That's fine.
You run it, and I'm Zeebo. I'm the guy who's rolling blunts in the.
No
in the
one could
room
touch
after.
The effortless grace of Mark the Shark.
No,
that's right.
So I of course got homeless crazy person.
I badly wish I was the Zeebo. I mean the Tony Allen.
I'm so happy to be Zeebo. Yeah. Did you see that shirt he wore the other day with all the animals on?
I sent you that shirt.
Oh, that was the shirt you sent me. Yeah.
Zeebo is the best looking post game presser Grizzly.
He's amazing,
ever.
And he also has just made new. Like he's paying all the energy bills of all the people in Memphis.
Oh yeah,
like literally everyone in Memphis
donated 20 G's.
He just pays their utility bills.
Good guy.
What a great guy.
Zeebo.
So many pit bulls saved.
All right, hopefully we can meet him one day.
Glasses always matches jewelry.
I've got a photo with him. I believe it.
I mean like hang out.
Oh, like hang out.
Yeah. I think we'll have made it if we can hang out with Tony Allen or Zeebo.
I want to be responsible for a failed drug test.
Oh. Goals. Goals AF. Yeah.
Squad goals.
Squad goals.
Hashtag squad goals. All right, you guys, thanks for listening. You guys are the best.
Arrive safely.
Yeah, never apologize for being G&G. Fab break, man. Yeah.